This morning's reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sarah, shall I pray for you before you preach? Lord, thank you for Sarah. Thank you for the way that you've been speaking to her in preparation for this morning. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would speak through her into our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes. We're going to watch a little video clip together, and then I'll talk for a few minutes more this morning. So we're thinking about faith on the front line. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about this front line and what that means for each of us. So I thought it might be useful this morning to just define what I mean and what we will mean when we use the term front line. So we have a shared understanding of this concept. So what is my front line? Well, very simply, a front line, your front line, my front line, is the place where we spend significant time over the week with people who don't have faith, with non-Christians. So it might be when we're on the bus. It might be as we're walking down Starbeck High Street. It might be in our places of work. It might be in our homes. Each of our front lines is very different. When my nan was in her 70s, she didn't consider herself as an old person. And I love that about my nan. And her front line was that every week she used to go into a residential home and sing hymns and talk with people about faith. That was her front line. It was different to other people's, but that's where she was, where the place where she spent significant time with people who didn't have faith. Front line, when I think of that term front line, it reminds me of battlefields and trenches. And in some ways, that war analogy, I think, can be quite helpful for us in this situation, because it reminds us that we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and it's the age-old story of good against evil, and we can't get away from that. We are in this battle, and what we think, what we say, and how we behave has an influence to the people around us on our front lines. So hopefully, I think the next few weeks might galvanize us into action on our front lines. So Colossians 1:15, it's entitled, people know it as a hymn of supremacy of Christ. It talks about how Jesus is Lord of all. He is supreme. He is the place that God was pleased to take up residency. The supremacy of Jesus is the foundation of our discipleship, our walk with Jesus, our journey with him. Our journey with him, our daily actions need to reflect our belief that Jesus is Lord of all. All that we can see and all that we can't see. Jesus is enough. The Colossian Christians were being told by false teachers that they needed an extra spirituality. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying to them, no, you don't, because Jesus is Lord of all, and he is enough. And the same is true today. He is all that we need. And the reason why he is enough is because he is the supreme, he is Lord. He has supreme authority. He made everything. He was there. In verse 16 it says, everything was created by him, everything in heaven and on earth. Now when I read that again, in my mind it's God the Father who's the creator and Jesus Christ the Redeemer. He is, but we forget, I forgot, that John tells us the Word was with God right at the beginning. Jesus was there. Everything was created by him and through him. Everything that you can see and everything that you can't see. And because he created everything that we can see and everything that we can't see, he is Lord of all of that. All things were created by God's Son, and everything was made for him. As Christians, we need to submit to him, surrender our wills to him, because he is our Lord. We sing, don't we? Jesus is Lord. Let all the earth declare it. That's right. We sing it, but we need to live like it's a reality for us. Surrender is not a very popular concept, but we need to place ourselves under the authority of Jesus. Your will be done, Lord, not mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. He is the head of our church. And heads have close relationships to the bodies. And so it is with Christ. He is the source of our life and of our power. This is true in everything that we do. Sometimes we think there are things that are not connected or have nothing to do with our faith. But if Jesus is Lord of everything, then everything that we do, that we say, every place where we are, has the ability to show that Jesus is Lord, and that has something to do with our faith. We're going to watch a short video clip now, and it's somebody called Mark Green, and he is going to talk a little bit about the sacred and secular divide, because sometimes we think that some things God is more interested in than other things. And this morning I want us to challenge our thinking, say actually, God is interested in every single thing in the same way. Okay.
The sacred-secular divide is the pervasive belief that some things are really important to God and that other things aren't. So, on the sacred side of the divide, there's church, prayer meetings, social action, world missions, singing carols outside Tesco's, and so on. We believe these things are important to God, and they are. But other human activities are at best neutral. Work, school, college, sport, the arts, music, unless it's got Christian words with it, leisure, sleep, rest. These sorts of things belong firmly on the secular side of life. So, on the one hand, we teach our kids what to think about Harry Potter, because it's set in a school of witches and wizards. But, on the other hand, we hardly ever help them to think biblically about what they read and study day by day at school. Of course, if you ask any Christian, do you think all of your life matters to God? They're going to say, yep. But I wonder, do we really? And if we do, why is it that stories like this one abound?
I teach Sunday school once a week for 45 minutes, and my church asks me to come up the front so they can pray for me. For the rest of the week, I'm a full-time teacher, and yet, as far as I can remember, no one has ever offered to pray for the work that I do in schools. It's as if they want to support half my profession and not the other half. It's difficult because no one would say that teaching Sunday school is more important than the work I do for the rest of the week. But that's the unspoken message that I get. And if you look at it this way, I've got 45 minutes once a week with children who are generally open to the gospel, with parents who are supportive of the faith, or 45 hours a week with kids who have very little knowledge of Christianity and parents who are either as ignorant or hostile to the faith.
Which context needs more prayer? Both. And that was a teacher. When was the last time we prayed for the cleaner? Look at your church's prayer diary. What's in there about people's ordinary Monday to Saturday, day-to-day lives? Look at your church's prayer diary. For where your prayer is, there your heart is. Think about your own praying. What do you pray about? And what do you ask other people to pray about? In reality, the sacred-secular divide has had a devastating impact on two key areas of Christian life, our mission and our living.
As Christians, sometimes we can be guilty of having a hierarchy about what we think is more important than other things. So sometimes we think missions, people in full-time Christian paid work, it's more sacred, that God is more interested in that than he is about people who are Christians in the world of engineering and lawyers. If we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, I think we need to think about this idea of calling and areas of life we allow Jesus to be Lord and those that we think don't apply. I'd like to suggest that all of our life matters to God, every single aspect. I found out this week there was an organisation called Business as Mission. Now, some of you might know of that organisation, but I didn't. But a group of businessmen understands that as Christians they are called into business, as much as anybody else is called into any other line of work. They realise that they are involved in mission. People have encouraged me in the past to become a full-time, to work full-time for Christ. Why don't you think about working full-time for Christ? And I think what they mean by that is, why don't you think about becoming a vicar? But my response is, I do work full-time for Christ. I work full-time for Christ in my home, in my workplace, yes, when we're in church as well, but I work full-time for Christ wherever I am. We all, as Christians, are working full-time for Christ wherever our front lines might be. Each of us has a calling. You're on your front line, and I'm on mine. They are different places, and God has placed us there for a purpose. So in this passage, we are thinking about Jesus being the author of creation. Reconciliation, the work of reconciliation that Jesus did on the cross, was for the world as well as for human beings. Jesus sustains the universe. He gives life to all. And one day the Bible says that we will have new bodies, but also that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Through his work on the cross, he reconciles everything. And that leads us to understand that everything is important to him, every aspect, the physical and the spiritual. Reconciliation, it's God's work. He was the one who came up with a plan to reconcile humanity back to him. He took the first step. He initiated it. He wants us to be reconciled to him through the saving work that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. In Romans 5 verse 8 it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we are not with Christ, the Bible says we are on the other side, we are against him. There is no neutral territory, there is no Switzerland here. We are either on one side or the other. Reconciliation has been accomplished. Jesus died on the cross, and as he died, he cried out, "It is finished." The work he did stands outside of time for all time. We are reconciled because he has accomplished something. Reconciliation was achieved at the cross. The blood of Jesus that was shed. The wages of sin have been paid. He died in our place so that we could be reconciled. When I grew up, we used to sing a lot of choruses about Jesus' blood. We don't do that so much anymore. But the blood will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. We have been reconciled because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The Message Bible puts Romans 12 like this. So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Understanding the Lordship of Christ gives us a rich foundation for our daily action on our front lines, the places where we are with non-Christians every day. Understanding that Jesus is Lord and is interested in everything, the physical as much as the spiritual, shifts our perspective and helps us to see things differently. All of our life belongs to God. Every aspect. He is our Lord. Each little detail He wants us to place before Him. God has put us all on different front lines. He has called us to our families, to our friends, to our workplaces, to our communities, to the places where we meet people who don't know Him. He is Lord. He is our Lord. So let's ask God to show us who it is who's on our front line. Who is it that you meet regularly? Who needs you to be Jesus to them? Who needs that kindness? Who needs that thoughtful word, that kind deed? We are always about our Father's business, whether we're going to buy a loaf of bread or whether we're sitting down knitting with a friend. We are always about His business. And I pray that over the next few weeks, that God will show each of us the work that we have already done on our front lines, that we will be encouraged, but also what He's got in store for us as well. Amen.